I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
KMA Audio Machines' comprehensive range of premium effects pedals are extremely impressive, coupling some of the best-looking graphics and best-sounding circuits with some of the most original reimaginations of classic effects pedals that we've ever seen. From the wild and soaring high-gain distortion of the Worm to the classic ripping fuzz tones of the Fuzzly Bear, Minos and Dead Stag, the swirling phaser of the Astro Spurt, the treble to full-range Stockher treble booster, the synthy octaves of the Moyai Mayer and the Queequeg, to the incomparably expansive wash of delays and verbs from the Cirrus and the uniquely controlled mid-accentuated drive of the incredibly dynamic Logan. The list is comprehensive, and every pedal offers something original and unique to KMA's penchant for extreme controllability. Available worldwide from leading guitar effects pedal dealers, and for more info, check out kma-machines.com. Introducing possibly the ultimate recording solution for guitarists everywhere, the Two Notes Captor X. Playing your tube amp in a great sounding room with an exceptional choice of perfectly matched speaker cabinet and microphones is truly joyous and an unparalleled experience. The Torpedo Captor X is for tube amp lovers who crave this every time they play, no matter the environment. Play your tube amp at its sweet spot and control your volume with the attenuator anywhere. You can even enjoy your 100-watt rig in silence with an immersive headphone experience. Fed up with lifting heavy cabinets, inconsistent sound and stage volume issues? Go direct to the PA and audio interface with studio-grade cabinet simulations. Wish to explore a legendary backline of speaker cabinets and microphones? Pair Torpedo Captor X with your phone, tablet or computer using Torpedo Remote. No other compact reactive load box offers such universal control of the miking chain. And with dual miking per cabinet, you may never need to use a real mic again. Check out the Two Notes Torpedo Captor X at 2-notes.com. Hello and welcome to the 270th episode of the world's number one guitar podcast, the Guitar Nerds Podcast. Ooh, I tripped up on myself there. I am your host, Joe Brandt.
He's turned the words around and he's totally lost it.
He's forgotten how to do it in English.
Absolutely lost where I was going there.
After these weeks of doing it in various different languages, you've forgotten how to actually do it in English.
Yes, that's
right. I also like how you highlighted the fact that this is like number 270 or something.
270. I think that's a big landmark, 270.
And yet you still cannot say hello and welcome to my pony little guitar shop.
Well, yes, absolutely. Anyway, I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Hello there.
Jay Cross.
That's my name.
And Matthew Knight.
I'm last this week.
Yes, that's right. Well, yes. Anyway, so on this week's podcast, there's actually a lot of news that has built up. We're going to be talking about
news works. News doesn't build up.
No. Well, we haven't spoken about this news.
It does when you're not a reputable source of information.
Exactly. When you're not sort of actually getting round to the news for week after week. Yes, it does build up. But yeah, there's going to be exciting things. News from Mesa Boogie, Matt Bellamy doing a collaboration with Court. There's new stuff from Drybell. I probably shouldn't introduce all this stuff because we always end up not actually talking about it. But anyway, that's what we're going to aim to talk about. We're going to aim to cover those three things. But before we go any further, we should, of course, introduce our new patrons that have joined the Guitar Nerds podcast community over on patreon.com/guitar nerds. So hello and welcome, or thank you for upgrading, to Philip Carter and Jim Welters. Thank you both for upgrading to a higher tier. I appreciate you and welcome aboard. And to Reese Lancaster, Mike McCrudden, thank you very much for joining us. And then also thank you to Zane Burry, Walt Mart, and Wade Rose.
Why do you keep doing this every week? Fake Patreons.
I wanted to see if you noticed or not. I was going to see.
Of course I'm going to notice. I was waiting for you to do it after Alton Tower last week.
Yeah, that was off the top of my head. That wasn't actually that creative. But I thought Zane Burry instead of Sainsbury's. Okay. Walt Mart for yeah. Walmart. And Wade Rose for Waitrose. Yeah.
Jokes are always much funnier when you explain them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that took me time. You know, serious time. I went through, like, what could I do? Should I do? I was thinking about doing, like, can I make any guitar brands? Cereals were an option at one point.
Cereals,
yeah. I was trying to think of cereals, like types of car, stuff like that. Foliage, you know, like trees, things like that. But, you know, I eventually settled on supermarkets. I'm also going to Facebook if there is a Zane Burry, a Walt Martin, a Wade Rose, and see if they do actually want to join, because that would be even better if I could legitimately get these people on the Patreon. Maybe I'll offer to pay for it or something. Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, so that is introducing our new patrons. Oh, we've got a lot to cover.
And some fake ones. I'm not sure I like this segment.
No? Shall I get rid of it? Shall I just focus on the real people?
I think that's probably for the best. The people that have paid money to be recognised.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you're absolutely right, because old Wade Rose, he just got that for free. he's not a contributor, and he just got a shout-out. So, you know, there you go, Wade. Freebie for you. Anyway, so this week we received a new guitar at Guitar Nerds HQ. Oh, God, it was horrible. I had to send back the Reverend Jetstream 390, the shrimp foam pink triple P90 gorgeous Reverend that we've been
raving
about.
Every time you say that, I really want some of those little foam shrimps.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I looked at getting some pick and mix delivered while in lockdown, and I was like, I'm sure this would be fine, but something about getting like pick and mix sweets, you know, just like the connotations of pick and mix sweets, which is like loads of people like diving in and like picking them out and what
pick and mix.
Yeah, exactly.
That. Enough.
My mum wouldn't let us do it, like, you know, before there was a pandemic going on. I mean, I'm talking about like 50. I'm talking about like 25 years ago. I had to think about how old I was there. It's not like, you know, I called up my mum in February and was like, "It's right if I get some pick and mix, mum."
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to place that order. I'm sure it would be fine. I'm sure it was hygienic, but just the thought of it.
They spray it with bleach before
it's
leaves.
Washed with chlorine.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Then.
Yes. Well, anyway, we had to send back that lovely Reverend Jetstream 390, which was an absolutely fantastic guitar. We had to send it back because it was the last one, so it was a limited edition run that Merchant City Music have, limited edition because it's in that color specifically for Merchant City Music, as we spoke about a couple of weeks on the podcast. But unfortunately they sold through the lot of them, which I'm not surprised at. So that was the last one. So if you buy it now, I mean, it's probably gone by now because I sent it back last week. But, you know, if you buy one now, remember, it has been touched by me.
No one wants that.
But yes, we did get something else in its place. We got the Greg Koch T-Style guitar, which is that we've spoken about it briefly. So it's a sort of bound T-Style guitar in a gorgeous rich red, very 50s, like a Cabernita style scratch plate, but a very thick scratch plate, single ply, and also a little plate, a little surround for the neck pickup as well. You know, both in a lovely cream to match the binding. You've got that typical baked maple neck and board from Reverend with the locking tuners, the handwritten serial number. All those things are very lovely. And then just to top it off, just to make everything a little bit better and a little bit more Cabernetery, I guess, the central bit of the Telecaster is raised from the body. Like the middle bit is got a, I don't know how to describe that.
Like on a Firebird.
It's like on a Firebird, yeah.
Yes, exactly like a Firebird. Yes, exactly. So
have you
just
actually
like
said
that.
The name of it, this guitar? Because it's not the just
Greg
the signature.
Koch. Oh, it's called the Gristlemaster, this yeah. one. Yeah. Which is very cool. And then when it comes to pickups, the pickups are kind of the big bit for me. But they've got these, despite the very classic look of this instrument, it has the Fishman Fluence pickups in the, you know, in the bridge position. And because it's the Fishman Fluence pickups, they've got that like little USB charger right next to the input jack to keep them topped up. But also, it gives you two voicing options via a little push-push switch on the T-Style sort of control panel. So you can flick between like a 50s and a 60s style voicing for the guitar. But my goodness, this is a fantastic guitar. I appreciate that this is the premium end of Reverend stuff, because we're now talking like £1,100-1,300, something around that. But this is absolutely fantastic. I did not expect to be impressed with the Fishman pickups. I expected them to be very I don't know, just what you expect from modern pickups, like a little bit what's the word?
Sterile? Sort of.
Yes, sterile. That's exactly the word.
Bit too clean.
Yeah, just a bit nothingy.
That has always kind of been my concern with active pickups in general. When yeah. you're, especially like clean active pickups, is they can often be a little bit too polished and a little bit too refined. When what I want is, you know, grubby and yeah. messy, and it seems like these maybe are a bit more like that. Is
yeah,
that what you're suggesting?
I think. Yeah. I think with these, obviously, he spent a lot of time doing demos for things like Wildwood. He worked for Fender for years. He plays loads of vintage guitars. So I think, you know, he really knows how to dial a sound in. And obviously, Fishman, using the kind of their Fluence technology, they've managed to make a really vintage-sounding pickup. But it's obviously totally silent. And you've actually got, yeah, a 50s Blackguard and a 60s kind of Whiteguard Tele sound on there. And actually, Joe, what's really interesting is you say top end, but yeah, they're still only, I think, $1,299, yeah. $1,199. But I mean, you know, you've got a £350 pair of pickups in there. You've still got locking tuners, Carina body, lock it, you know, all of the things you'd expect. But what's yeah. really interesting is the body is actually oversized as well.
Is it?
Yes. So side by side next to a normal telly.
Oh, no. Actually, I just sold my last telly today. I don't have anything here to compare it to.
It's slightly oversized because obviously he is a very tall man. He's, I think, 6'5", maybe 6'6". Very tall. And so he was like, a normal telly kind of looks always a bit too small. So it's a slightly bigger body size. And then obviously you've got the raised bit, like you say, in the middle, like the Firebird. I just think, like, spec-wise, I mean, what a guitar for that money.
What a guitar. See, when we had the Jetstream 390, I was very impressed. Like, more impressed than I expected to be. But I sort of thought when Merchant City were like, yeah, we'll send you something else instead, I was kind of like, well, I've sort of, you know, I've got the feel of a Reverend now. This will be, you know, the same sort of thing. But this is even better. Like, this is an incredible instrument. I did not expect to be this blown away by it. But yeah, with sort of the kind of the modern elements of it. Oh, it's important to notice that those Fishman Fluence pickups are in fact his signature Gristle Master versions of the Fishman Fluence pickups. They're a pickup specifically made for Greg Koch. I can't recommend this guitar enough. When I say it's a premium price, I only mean for Reverend, who obviously when we speak about them a lot, we talk about the fact that they have a £700-800 price point. So, you know, when you get onto sort of the £1,200, which this is, I view that as, you know, over a grand being a different sort of price area. And of course, with the Reverend stuff, it doesn't come with a case or a soft case or anything like that, which I think a lot of instruments at this sort of price point maybe do. But you know, that aside, this guitar is absolutely incredible. I know a couple people in the Guitar Nerds Facebook community, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, have already got a Greg Koch. It seems to have been quite a popular model for people to get hold of.
I'm keen to try it at some point. I think this is the one that stood out to me in their range. It was like, yeah, I can see them, you know, Reverend having a really good go at like a T-style guitar and doing something a bit different. And, you know, Greg's like a amazing player.
I don't know much about Greg Koch. Can you give me a bit of a download?
Basically, just the first thing that I remember seeing is he's got a really famous, it was famous on YouTube, I think, before there was lots of guitar playing. And I think it was called like, damn, what was the name of the song? It had a ridiculous name, but it's basically this crazy chicken picking type country thing. And I think he's just been a player for years, and he was really known as, he did a bunch of DVDs, you know, back when you'd walk into music stores and you could buy a bunch of different DVDs from players and stuff. And then he started doing a load of stuff for Fender. Then he was the main demo player for Wildwood Guitars. Wildwood in the States are like a incredible custom dealer. They spec some of the best custom shop Fenders, Gibsons, and he would go on there and do all that sort of demo stuff. And then more recently he's been touring around as a trio, him, his son, and then a guy who's actually his son's a drummer, and then they're touring around with a Hammond B3 player. And like, they are ridiculous, they are massive, because they're like four tiered with like bass pedals and everything. They weigh like 500 kilos or something ridiculous.
Moved one before. Did we talk about that? I'm sure we've talked about that on the podcast before. I had to move a Hammond into a house that I was living in, and we had to smash the front door frame off to get it through.
What?
Someone that I was living with bought a Hammond, and he was like, oh, this just needs to live in the living room for a bit. I mean, it ended up being there for over a year. But basically to get it in the house, like, it was too wide to go through the front door. And the options were, okay, well, the van that we've used to move this has gone, so this either stays in the front garden, or we find a way to get it into the house. And the way to get it into the house was to basically hammer the door frame off, and then it just about fit through, and then we had to repair the door frame. It was a bad time all around.
Wow, that's impressive.
But yeah, just a phenomenal player, really knows his sound, you know, knows tone, if you want to put it in one way. So I think it's a great guitar. I think it's really well designed and partially chambered as well.
It is. Chambered under the plate, the little Cabernet style scratch plate. Yeah, which is very cool. Like I say, I couldn't be more impressed with this. Obviously, you know, we speak about Reverend quite a lot on the podcast. You know, listener, if you haven't, I imagine you have, but check out the entire range. It's incredible. The thing that stands out for me about Reverend is just how comprehensive their signature roster is. And the guitars are all really interesting within their signature range. Like, you know, sometimes stuff can be just a bit too specific when it comes to a signature model. But most of the Reverends tend to just be incredibly dynamic, or the adjustments that have been made for these signature models are more improvements than they are, you know, just for a specific player. I think that's very much the case with this Greg Koch. I love all the subtle things about this guitar make it a fantastic guitar, all the little bits and bobs.
Can I just offer a slight bit of criticism here?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's Koch, not Koch.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, well, Kochkok has a great guitar. There you go. That's what
I like. I don't like the color as much as I did the Jetstream, but I do like the color.
Also comes in black, I believe, which I prefer because it's a bit more. I am slowly realizing. I can't remember if we've spoken about this, but I'm slowly realizing that I think the Cabernet Telecaster might be a perfect instrument in every way, shape, and form. Right. So the closer that something looks to that, the more excited I am.
Just quickly, the colors it comes available in are Wow Red, Blucifer, which is a see-through blue, Pow Yellow. Then there's a Wildwood exclusive in Cockwork Orange, which
yes,
I think is
yes.
just... then they also do Trans Black and Axis Purple.
Ah, yes, that's right.
But the orange and the black are exclusive to Wildwood. I told the guys at Merchant City that they should do a pink one.
Oh, my goodness. If they did that, I'd buy two.
I think the best looking guitar they've ever done, and I think, again, it was a Wildwood exclusive, was the Pete Anderson East Sider T, which is the more traditional T style without the kind of middle Firebird bit. This one in particular had P90 in the neck and Tele pickup in the bridge, which is obviously a great combination. The sides were natural, top silver sparkle bound Tele or bound T style.
Yes.
It looks absolutely incredible. So good. And some did come over to the UK, I think, and I missed out on them. I believe they were sold out before I got to get hold of one.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to buy a Reverend at some point because, you know, this is just a brand that are too good to not own something by, I think. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, Matt Knight, of course, have purchased a new pedal. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, I've waited for this for ages and I kind of bought it on a bit of a whim. I didn't
really? Sorry, wait, you what?
No, I usually do lots of research and never buy anything on the spur of the moment. I'm certainly not addicted to eBay. So there's a brand that I believe we may have mentioned a couple times called Jackson Audio out of Texas. They did a pedal called the Broken Arrow, which is like a multi-stage gain overdrive pedal, and they've done a new one called the Golden Boy, which was built in conjunction designed with Joey Landreth. And the reason I was drawn to this was because it has MIDI and I was just keen to basically try a bunch of different MIDI drives, and I've been using an OD200 at home as well, which has been great. This one is all analog, but what was really cool was the boost and the gain are independent of each other. You've got four different boost levels. You've got a boost control on the front and it cycles between 25, 50, 75% and 100% boost, which you can just do by tapping. You can tap it on and off. You hold it down. You can cycle through different boost levels. And then there's four different types of distortion clipping, basically. So there's like a Tube Screamer style in there. There's like a Blues Breaker King of Tone style in there. And again, you can cycle through those four different modes. You can have four different types of, I think it's like symmetrical, diode clipping, so different feels of drive. But again, you can cycle through the game. So you can have 50, 75, or 100% of where you set the gain pot. And you can do all of that just on the pedal itself. But then you can record all of that via MIDI as well, which I thought was very cool. Got it last week. It had been stuck in customs for a little while. And it's wicked. There's so many usable gain sounds in there. But it's great to just hit both buttons and then you get another 25% gain.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a genuinely kind of original idea usable.
Something that I hadn't really seen, and I guess there are other ways to achieve it, with some other
but not,
pedals
not without
MIDI, but
not without using up real estate. Oh, I see. Sorry, you're saying. With MIDI. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but this one, I think it was just the fact that it's basically in a normal, I guess if you take like an Earthquaker pedal, it's slightly taller. But it's just
It looks very deep.
I'd say it's only the same height and width as like an Earthquaker pedal. It's just much taller, I think, because they've obviously got like several circuit boards and they're trying to do a lot of different things. Yeah. But I thought it was great that both the boost and the drive circuit could be used independently, and then you can cycle through different gain levels of each one of those. So actually just have a pedal on the floor, and you know, if you're going between a light boost, and then you want to add in a bit of drive, then you want to add in more gain, boost, you know, the input of the distortion circuit. I was like, oh, this thing's great. It's been a bunch of fun. I've been messing around with that. And then a few weeks ago, I talked about the small trees, which was the Class A valve preamp. So that, and using that for recording, was just like, oh man, this is amazing. That's been a lot of fun. Definitely awesome. Worth one checking out.
Yeah. Well, listener, check it out. The Jackson Audio Golden Boy Transparent Overdrive, which is $299 US, and you can find that on jackson.audio. Do check it out. That does look incredibly cool.
It's good fun. It's definitely good fun.
Speaking of... No, there's no segue here. So I was checking out... I got emailed by this company called Zero. Or is the product called Zero? This product, Thermion is the company, and the Zero is the product. So they've got a Kickstarter going for it, and they sent me an email, and I thought it was an absolutely fantastic product and well worth investing in. So the Zero is their kind of floorboard amp and preamp. I know that's not incredibly original. We were already talking about the Ashdown Newt and the Ashdown Ant, which we gave away last week. And of course, you know, we've been speaking about things like Milkman's The Amp and things like that for some time. But this Zero seems like an absolutely fantastic product. So it's a preamp. So you've got your... it's a floor-based amplifier, essentially, that's got your preamp, which will have your bass, middle, treble, plus a mix, and then, you know, like a separate control for you to run headphone out. It's got two cabinet outs, so you can run out into a pair of cabs, but it also has an IR loaded out for you to go to the front of house, which is very useful, and a separate stereo reverb, which I think is very cool and very usable, and an effects loop, which is kind of excellent. So none of these things are not things, I guess, that we've spoken about with other pedals, but man, it looks absolutely fantastic. The demos make it sound really awesome. The stereo reverb especially, I was very into. I am very excited about these all-in-one solutions at the moment for everything. And this kind of seems to do everything that you need. And because it's a new sort of small company, they're doing it all via a Kickstarter, which is great because it means you can just, you know, you can just donate to get them to their target if you want. You can just donate and get no reward if you want, or you can donate a little bit more and get a t-shirt. They've currently made £10,000 on their Kickstarter already. They're aiming for £12,500.
Worth mentioning, but this, I'm just looking at it right now. So the normal price, €595, but one of the tiers to receive one early with 30% up, €413, which is £372. Not bad for a decent little pedalboard amplifier.
And they've limited that to 20, and there are only 7 of those options left. Check it out, listener, on Kickstarter. I'll have it in the notes of this week's podcast for Patreon listeners, but you can check that out. If you just search for the Thermion Zero Dynamic Hybrid Amplifier, I'm sure you'll be able to find it on their website and on Kickstarter. Also, if you... you know, if this does sell out of those 20 limited 30% discount options, after that there is a 20% or a 25%. Is it 35% the first
25%
option?
Is the
the 35% option is the one that currently has space. After that there is a 25% option discount.
Oh yeah, the super early bird has gone, which was the €384, 35% off. It looks like these are going to be popular.
I mean, I just think it's an absolutely great product. Again, you know, it's not something that, you know, other companies aren't kind of doing in some way, shape or form. But I love the feature range on this. Once again, this to me was kind of sold on the demos. I was like, oh, this is definitely cool. Floorboard amplifiers are kind of a thing. And then I listened to the demos and I was like, man, the stereo reverb sounds fantastic. The effects loop is very, very useful. The preamp is excellent and is super clean, takes drives really well. This is a really great product from a cool sort of smaller brand. So if you're looking for something along this line, listener, and you fancy helping out a smaller brand rather than buying from one of the big boys, this is an absolutely wonderful product. So I think
they do some cool looking pedals as well. I don't know if you
haven't actually checked out the rest.
If you looked further than just the further than just the amp, but yeah, they do. Where are we? Six pedals. So there's the gasoline, which is a high octane drive. They do the breakthrough, which is a British Blizzard dual overdrive. I'm of course quoting the website here. The heartbreaker, which is vintage voiced saturation. The uprising, which is an organic dual booster. They have got the outlaw, which has got a red knob, which none of the rest of them do, which is a soloing boosted delay, which sounds quite interesting. I wonder if that's an analog delay. The red knob is for the boost. That looks really cool and quite
simple. This is a fantastic looking range of bits
and
bobs, actually.
The last pedal, and the one that actually I think looks really unique, is the Black Sun, which is a Seattle-inspired analog roto phaser.
of course,
so into it. That, I mean, it looks really cool. The graphic design on there is very simple. It's just black screen printed onto a silver box, but the logo, it looks great. The artwork looks really cool. Like, it looks, you've got kind of the vibe of a city skyline there, but also if you look at it, it also maybe looks like just kind of liquid just dripping down a wall. It's really interesting. It looks fantastic. And yeah, basically it's a from what I can see, it's basically like a Leslie emulator type pedal.
I guess it will emulate the sound of Black Hole Sun, which is that kind of rotary. I don't actually know what. I'm pretty sure it is a Leslie on that intro with a lot of gain and a slide. But it's such a hard sound to get right. So I'd be really keen to hear that. I reckon that's sounds promising, I should say.
Yeah, what's cool about this is there's a two-band EQ, and basically it's like trebles and bass, but the way they've done it is the treble control is for the horn and the bass control is for the drum, so that would be, you know, exactly how you would get the tone from a Leslie. So this looks really interesting. There's really not that many Leslie emulator, like, you know, Leslie pedals out there that do a good job. Obviously there's a Fender one, but other than that,
the pinwheel I think is excellent, by the way. The pinwheel is the Fender pinwheel Leslie sim is genuinely, without, you know, sort of, you know, without anything else, it's an incredible sounding Leslie sim. I think it's a fantastic option for, you know, whatever it is, less than £150.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergo Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergo Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Engel and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original. One of the most popular Ernie Ball Music Man models, the John Petrucci Majesty, is being expanded with four brand new striking finishes. Now offered in Pink Sand, Red Phoenix, Smoked Pearl, and Ember Glow, the 2020 Majesty features a lightweight Akume body, signature Damasio Rainmaker and Dreamcatcher pickups, and an onboard piezo bridge system that gives the guitar a focused and highly versatile palette of tones. Head to music-man.com to learn more. That's music-man. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, but, you know, this does look really good, and it looks like it looks like something that's worth investigating. I think it's... Yeah. I wonder if you've got any dealers in the UK. I think I had a quick look, and there was Joe's Pedals are doing it. Yeah, there's a handful of distributors, a handful of retailers in the UK. So yeah, be worth checking this out, seeing if they're. Yeah, looks really interesting. Some so cool stuff going on there, more than just the Zero.
Yeah, more than just the Zero. Yeah, absolutely. I looked at this as well whilst you were talking, and the Thermion.eu listener, if you want to check it out, they also do a range of amps, which I thought was quite impressive. The Spitfire 20 watt combo is the one that jumped out at me, which is a dual channel 20 watt combo with two completely separated voicings, which is very cool. And the look of these amps is incredible. It's like it's got this weird grill at the top, which reminds me of companies like Engel and sort of Gehling and Krüger. It's very modern, very sort of German looking. But then there's like this lovely old sort of sofa mesh as the grill, which is way more retro, and then you get a speed stripe down the middle, which reminds me of those kind of like old Fender amps or that weird range of Marshall amps that once happened. And then when I sort of...
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Like, look further through the range. That Spitfire 20-watt combo that they've got in black with a...
Oh, no.
Raven black with
a
white speed
stripe. I've just seen what you're about
to say. custom colours, including Spitfire Grey, Navy Blue, Army Green, Mint Green, Walnut Brown, Wine Red, and Monarch Orange. A fantastic range of colours. I'm going to be checking out these audio demos that they've got up of this amp as well. But man, this looks like a really awesome range of kind of, you know, a sort of classic come modern look and feel. They look incredibly well built. I'm going to learn more about this company. But yeah, listener, check them out. Thermion.eu. I'm probably late to the party. You all probably know about this brand already. But they look really, really cool, really interesting.
Can I make a recommendation? I've not played any Guitar Gear this week. I've only been playing that Casino, as we know. Casinos are awesome. I've talked about them for enough the last couple of weeks. One other thing, because I'm still on this Beatles trip, by the way, the last episode of the Gear There and Everywhere is on the Patreon this week. But one thing that I have been watching on YouTube is, and it loosely ties in with the Beatles, is lots of videos about how Mellotrons work. And now I just want to buy a Mellotron.
Mark, is this something you and I have in common?
Have you spent about 2 hours every day just watching videos of people taking them apart, rebuilding them, like servicing them?
I watch a lot of King Crimson videos.
Right, okay, fine. Yeah, I mean, there's probably a lot
it's
of
one for the CV
in
there. What skills have you got? I watch a lot of King Crimson videos.
But I watched a video where they basically, yeah, took one apart, rebuilt it, and then like walked through all the sounds and stuff. And they are unbelievable. As it just, yeah, you know, obviously I've got a connection with them because of the Beatles connection, and you know, I love all that. But just as a piece of engineering, you know, obviously we get into it with all the guitar stuff that we talk about, but I don't think there's any sort of musical instrument that relies on the sort of pure mechanics to generate the sound as much as the Mellotron. It is bonkers how many like moving parts there are, how many, and just the overall mechanism is unbelievable. And the fact that they came out sort of late 50s, early 60s, you wouldn't believe. Because, you know, now doing what they do, you'd either do it through samples or you do it through synthesis. That just wasn't available then. It was like, I guess, the first attempt at sampling.
Well, that's the thing. For me, it's the fact that during the, I don't know if they were around in the, I didn't realise they were around in the 50s, but
I think it's very late 50s. Let me just double check that. Hang on.
But for me, it was the fact that people that early on, you consider sort of the evolution of modern music, that someone that early on was seeking to replicate a string arrangement without having them. Like, at the time, that must have been in incredibly progressive thinking.
1963, by the way. I thought that they'd started working it earlier than that. But yeah, the first one released 1963.
I see.
I think what was interesting is that at one point there was a massive boom in the home organ. Is that people were literally, like, performing, you know, entire concert pieces of like, here's a bass backing track and then I'm going to play some strings over top of it, and just these like mental performances. And I think this was just like, it was part of that. And I love the fact you can buy a modern day recreation of it.
Oh, it doesn't sound quite as good though. Like, I do like it.
It never will.
I really like the, what's it called? M4000D, which is the modern one. And it does sound really good.
But they actually do several of the Mellotrons, because you can also just buy the module to use. They do a digital module that you can then buy. You can then use your own keyboard.
Got it.
Plugged in.
Got it.
But they also do like a single octave Mellotron now as well. I only know this because my synth player is literally buying one.
Right. Okay. Fine. I did watch a couple of YouTube videos that were direct A/B comparisons between, you know, an old mechanical tape one and the digital one. And like, the digital one is wicked. It's a great product, and to not have to do any of the maintenance that you seem to have to do every 5 minutes on the actual, you know, analog mechanical one is probably a better option to go for. But there is something about how like every single key sounds a bit different on the analog one, on the original one, you know. It's just got that kind of the sort of magic that you can't describe, because all of the tapes are slightly warped in a different way, and you know, they react slightly differently depending on which key you've got pushed down. It's go and check that out. That's a good thing, a good starter to like what these things are, is look at the digital one versus the an original one. It's a really interesting comparison.
I think I mentioned it at the time, but you know, no one's going to remember. But I think on like the well on the second EP that I made with Polymath, we hired a real Mellotron into Brighton Electric and had it. Had it delivered down so that we could play. Yeah.
Did it sort of come,
I remember
did
you it, talking about that.
Did it include a sort of engineer with it who like fixed it when you broke it?
No, but they did have to deliver it specifically because like they had to make sure, you know, that it came in the right way so that nothing was, I guess, knocked, that everything would still work functionally. They had to deliver it. Like they couldn't just drop it off. They had to bring it into the room and put it where it was going to be sat. And stuff like that. It was
That's only because it was you. Normally, yeah, they're fine. They just they saw you rock up at the I don't know Mellotrons R Us or wherever it is you hire these things from, and they were like, "No, actually, we're going to deliver this." Actually, mate,
It was for that record. We got some grant from some form of
Grant Mitchell.
We got some like grant to make an EP, so we were sort of spending money. But I think it was like. It was over £300 to have it for a couple of days, I think. So it was, but then it's, you know, it's over £5,000 to buy one. So
yeah.
I was listening to, I think we talked about this last time the Mellotron came up, but I was listening to an interview that Ian Lee did with one of the members of the Zombies, the kind of like late '60s British pop band. And they were talking about the fact that they went in to record their album, Odyssey and the Oracle, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Like they had Abbey Road just after the Beatles had finished Sgt. Pepper's, and the Beatles had left behind it. I mean, you know, it shows you the sort of money flying around the music industry at the time. The Beatles had just left behind their Mellotron at Abbey Road, and so.
Well, it would have belonged to Abbey Road, actually.
I don't think it did.
Yeah, I'm almost certain it would at that point. It would have done. I know a lot of that stuff was sold off down the line, okay. Almost certainly that belonged to Abbey Road.
Because maybe it's been twisted for a better story, but my understanding was that the Beatles had bought it and they hadn't picked it up yet. They just left it there. And because the Zombies were in literally the next day or the next week or whatever, they were just like, well, see, let's just bloody use it, mate. And they used it, and then it was collected not long afterwards.
You may be right, actually, because... Yeah, okay, so the Mellotron for Strawberry Fields, which is probably its most famous appearance, was hired. So, yeah, I imagine Beatles used it, and then it was going to get collected, and then the Zombies ended up using it. Abbey Road did eventually buy one, just looking at this website, according to this website that I've not fact-checked. Abbey Road did buy one, which is the one that Paul McCartney now owns, apparently.
Wow. Amy's best friend's dad is the drummer in the Zombies.
Oh, really?
And actually recorded, you know, some of their most famous hits and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. And Amy's friend went to that ceremony.
Amazing. Very cool.
Bizarre, yeah. Time of the Season, which is obviously their biggest
the big
ever
song.
Hit. He's the drummer in that band. I was just like, when I found that out, Amy was like, yeah, I guess he was in some band. I'm like, and I was like, oh, what band? It's like the Zombies. I was like, Time of the Season. Like, one of the biggest songs of the 1960s.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they'd broken up before the record came out, I think. Certainly before that song, like, got commercial success.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's I'm sure we're not just talking about them because of the fact that, you know, they used some gear that John and Paul just hadn't gone to take back to Mellotrons R Us or wherever it was that they hired it from in the 1960s.
Oh, yeah, Mellotrons R Us. I'm going
to
check.
We should make that a t-shirt. I really, really want to see a t-shirt in the Toys R Us font that says Mellotrons R Us.
Mellotrons R Us.
Put
yeah,
that up
great.
On the Teespring.
Great. Yeah, I might do. I tell you what, I think we should start doing a little bit where we have to pick an interesting thing that we've said and turn it into a new t-shirt at the end of every week, and I'll have it made up.
I'm into it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Anyway, you know, we haven't done any news yet. And we're
of course
still...
not.
We haven't done any news since, like, 2018, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to talk about all the cool new guitars that I went to Wales to collect the other day, but let's leave that for another week until I actually get a chance to go through them all. Let's do some news. I managed to introduce the news then without saying, "Here's the jingle."
I was actually going to pip in and just be like, "Here's the jingle."
Thank you for not. I feel that it was much more professional because we didn't do that. So well done. Well done, everyone, on that one. So first of all, Matt Knight, I want to talk about a brand that we have been quite supportive of when we've actually checked out their guitars, Kort, and what they're doing now.
Yeah, so the tie with Kort is, I believe a few months ago we mentioned that Matt Bellamy of Muse bought his all-time favourite guitar shop, Manson's,
down
in Devon. Yeah, so I think
that's pretty cool, isn't it? To sort of go for a guy who came from around there to get to a stage where he can actually buy the guitar shop that he probably fawned, after all.
Yeah, I think, he went in there from a kid. I don't know whether he bought his, first guitar from there or whatever.
I don't think it's the shop, though, is it? It's the the brand.
It's the custom shop. It's the brand,
It's the brand. And then, I think it's he owns the brand, which also includes the shop. But I think Hugh Manson still has some involvement in it. But obviously they've built his custom guitars for years. I didn't realize until we went to the Birmingham Guitar Show how many other custom guitars they've built for people. Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age, Lady Gaga. I think they built something for Madonna. It's just all these bizarre guitars, but obviously very well known for putting a Fuzz Factory and a Chaos Pad into a guitar for Matt Bellamy, which is used ever since the sort of second record. So now that Matt Bellamy's on board with Manson's, they've gone to the Kort factory where they were making some Matt Bellamy guitars before, and they are now doing the MBM1 Meta series, which is the new Kort built Matt Bellamy signature through Manson's. So that kind of cool sort of rounded, slightly, I'd say, squashed Telecaster shape. You've got the Tunematic style bridge, volume tone, Manson design pickups, kill switch, locking tuners, and everything.
The location of the kill switch is unusual, being on that top horn. I assume that's where Bellamy has always had it.
Yeah,
but it's a less usable sort of area, isn't it? It's somewhere that you have to move your hand to go to.
I think when you've got loads of gain and you're using a Fuzz Factory, you're probably not hitting the strings that much. You're probably getting a fair bit of sustain that point.
Yeah.
But obviously everything carefully designed in conjunction with Matt Bellamy and the guys at Manson's. And I think just being able to offer a Matt Bellamy guitar to the masses. I think, I remember when I listened to Origin of Symmetry in 2001.
2001 sounds about right.
Do you reckon that?
I think it's
2001.
Yeah, I think the first record was 1999. So I think this, 2001. I think
2001.
Yes.
And just Googled it. 2001. I remember just going, I want that guitar. It's just the coolest thing. And even now, I'm like, it would be cool to have a guitar because you can go to them and say, I want one of the mirror finished ones that shoots lasers and it's got a chaos pad and a Fuzz Factory in it. And I'm like, I don't really have a spare, I think they start at $2,000. You can buy one on the website right now, it's $2,000.
Yeah, they're very expensive, aren't they?
So I thought, this was a great option for people who, Matt Bellamy is a guitar hero to so many people. They are one of the biggest bands on the planet, and I think it's great. I was talking to the guys at Manson's because for a while, I think Matt Bellamy first came on board, they were actually Manson set up shop at Muse shows when they were on their last tour.
What?
And they had the expensive ones there, and they were saying they sold one every show.
Wow.
Because it was the same as the story behind the Gene Simmons axe bass, that he would spit blood at the show and then they would he would sign it, they would hang it up on the merch stall at the end of the gig. It was $10,000 and they sold one every single show. and you're just like, yeah, there's loads of people out there who love Muse, who would love, I'm sure, who love Muse, who don't really even play guitar, but are like, it's very cool that I can buy a Matt Bellamy guitar.
Yeah, and it's about time that they've made a sort of an affordable version. I do feel like, you know, when it, well, this is kind of a personal thing, but when it comes to these sort of modern looking, modern spec guitars, I don't think of them as being the things that should be $2,000. That, and I appreciate that the expensive models obviously are, but I'm far more likely to buy a modern guitar if it's affordable. And so, you know, cracking.
And we sort of raved about, you know, friend of the podcast, Mikey Demas and his Manson. And it's just,
man, that is a wonderful guitar.
Yeah,
Mikey,
it's just
Demas.
Amazing guitar. So I would expect that these would be, you know, equally as good, if not.
I'm sure they're going to be great. Indian Laurel fretboard. I know that's a random thing for me to suddenly point out, but interesting to see that, because of course that's something that Squire have been using for some time. Good to see that wood being sort of, I guess, used more often, so that, you know, I guess the community get used to the fact that Indian Laurel is the new sort of rosewood alternative. But I haven't seen that on any fingerboards that haven't been Squire, so that's pretty cool.
And I'm sure you could just buy a Chaos pad, stick it on the front, buy a Fuzz Factory and plug it in. But yeah, I think it's a cool guitar. And Price Manson Guitar Shop, which I'm guessing, I don't know if they'll be the only dealer. I'm guessing if you're a court dealer, maybe as well. But £569 available to
order
right now. Yeah,
wow. That's
I didn't see a price anywhere, so yeah, it's news to me. But yeah, it looks good for that
on
money.
Manson's,
definitely.
Manson's website. They're on there now.
Oh, very cool indeed. Mark Packham.
Hello there.
What would you like to talk to us about? You can talk to us about either Walrus Audio, or you can talk to us about pushy button pickup systems.
Did we not talk about the Walrus Audio last week? I don't remember. I definitely looked at it last week, but I know we ran out of time to do all the news.
I think
we ran out of time. Well, in that case, this is the thing that I want to talk about then. So, brand new pedal from Walrus Audio, who we know makes some great overdrives. You know, thinking about the 385, which is one of my favourite overdrives of all time.
Absolutely.
Which was
fantastic.
It was aping the sound of that film projector turned into a preamp. Loved it. They have just launched the Ages, which they are calling a five-state overdrive, basically with the idea being that you've got kind of five presets almost in there that you can then use as the basis of the sound that you kind of shape around it. So it's a six knob overdrive with volume, dry mix control, gain control, bass and treble control, I believe is the other one. But crucially, it's got this stage, in fact I don't know what they actually label it on the pedal. I'm looking at a very low res image right now. I can't see it. But there's a sixth knob in there which controls these five states, I guess, five different sounds. And they are a low gain mode with symmetric silicon soft clipping, compressed and smooth. A low gain mode with symmetric LED soft clipping, pushed, open and sparkly. A high gain mode with symmetric silicon soft clipping, increased saturation and tight. A high gain mode with symmetric LED soft clipping, saturated, punchy and big. And finally, a high gain mode with symmetric silicon hard clipping, heavy compression, thick and chewy. So five very distinct sounds on there. I had a quick listen to the demo, and yeah, it is doing a whole bunch of stuff. If you want one go-to drive pedal to do a load of different tones that isn't mega money and also is in just a kind of single compact format, this might be the one to go for. Price was $199 USD, and as we know with all the Walrus stuff, it's going to sound great, build quality is great. As
I
always,
love
you
this
know
brand.
If it's something that you care about, the aesthetics are really good. It's just got a big woolly mammoth, not woolly mammoth, just a big mammoth on the front of it. And yeah, they're a cool brand, you know, support these kind of smaller builders. And yeah, I liked it a lot from the demo.
Yeah, absolutely cool. I can't wait to be able to get a hold of this. The 385, I agree with you, Mark, one of the best drive pedals I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Just really simple, super simple. And this is kind of taking it to the next level. This doesn't have the kind of same simple layout. Obviously, like I said, it's a 6-knob overdrive, which is a lot. But I'd imagine it's one of those pedals where, like, if you're doing a band where you need a ton of different sounds, it could be a go-to pedal. But to be honest, I think it's going to appeal more to people that just like to mess around with a bunch of different sounds.
I just like having a wet dry. I think that's kind of a, you know... That's the control that means a lot to me. Like the mode, you think that mode control, you're basically going to pick whatever your favorite one is.
Yeah.
And then the other controls are your standards, you know, your bass, your treble, and then your gain and your volume. So even though it is 6 knobs, it's still a very, very simple unit, I think.
I was just going to say, once again, Walrus coming out with something that is just, you know, absolutely fantastic, along with everything else that they do. You know, you talk about the 385, but I've got the Julia here, and I've got the Lillian here, and Joe, you've got the Julia at home. We raved about the Slow in Gear of the Year, and they're just constantly bringing out new, cool, wicked stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I need to correct a mistake earlier. It's actually not a mammoth. It is a mythical 3-trunked warrior elephant on the front of the pedal.
Is that where the name comes from? This was one of the first pedals I've seen where I'm like, what's the story behind the name?
Yeah, can't I don't know why it's called the Ages. I can't find the story either, but it's got a 3-trunked elephant on it.
I mean, what more do you need?
Well, exactly. If you're going to put something on your board, why not have a 3-trunked elephant on it?
Yeah, I completely agree. Very cool pedal. And what did we say it was? How much did we say it was?
$199 USD.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is a very reasonable price. So, listener, if you're looking for a new drive that maybe offers you a little bit more and has a wet dry blend, then that could well be the answer. Jay Cross.
Yes.
You've got a choice as well this week.
Joe, I'm going to cut across you.
Yeah.
I've got to talk about this pedal. This pedal has been on the news for about 3 weeks, and every time it nearly gets to a point where I'm like, I can finally talk about this pedal, we just run out of time because we're wittering on about something else.
Yeah, I've got your other option is an accessory as well. So I know.
Don't get me wrong, I love an accessory.
You'll take it.
I love an accessory, but I've got to talk to you about RPS effects.
We should have talked about this weeks ago.
Okay,
we really
RPS effects, which is a company that was new to me. And actually, looking at their Facebook page, whereby they have 246 followers, I would suggest it's probably new to most people listening to this podcast. RPS Effects make a bunch of very, very cool looking pedals.
They're from Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania.
Portable Audio. Oh, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania represent. Yeah, of course. The Arcade Machine, which is the pedal we're going to be talking about now, is just one of the most guitar nerds-esque products I've ever come across. So, okay, essentially, it is a mixer, okay? So you've got your in, you've got an out, and you've got an expression in as well. And what it does is it takes your signal and it turns it into a square wave, and then it allows you to add other octaves. So you've got 6 knobs across the top. The middle one of the middle ones is your standard signal. So your guitar signal goes in, turns into a square wave. You can then control the volume of that. You've got two octaves down, one octave down, one octave up, and two octaves up. So a lot of choice there. I've been reading the manual, and it does say that if you add in more than one octave, the pedal does get confused and it will go super glitchy, which is probably what some of us would want and not what others would want.
Yeah.
Yes, so, there we go. You've also got an interval control, which allows you to add an interval to the original signal across all 12 tones. So minor second, major second, minor third, major third, etc., etc., all the way up to major seventh. And I said that with so much authority, I almost believed that I knew what I was talking about. Now, clearly I don't, but I assume some of you do. You've then... Go on, Matt.
I was going to say, so this actually... Yeah, uses it's based off a circuit called the PLL circuit.
Phase lock loop.
Which is the same basis that things like the data corruptor from Earthquaker are based off. So yeah, it's really, it's I think the original PLL device you can still find on some secondhand sites, but they're like $3,000.
Wow.
Basically.
So you've got that. You've also got, alongside that, you've got a gate control, which will allow you to go super glitchy or get a bit more continuity if you're looking for kind of a cleaner, weird analog synth sound. And on the other side, you've also got modulation. So you've got depth and rate controls to get like really weird vibrato-y, chorus-y type sounds. Now, all of that is well and good. The thing that's really important here is basically it makes your guitar sound like Donkey Kong. That is like absolutely start to finish. If you listen to the demos that are on the company have put up on their Facebook and up on the internet at the moment, mate, honestly, it just sounds like you're playing a Donkey Kong arcade machine. And it sounds incredible. It's absolutely amazing. Like when you see them switching, like turning some of the knobs, turning the interval knobs, and then like turning the gate up and down and messing around with the vibrato, this looks like absolutely hours of fun. And basically, this is a company from what I can see, nobody knows who they are. You've absolutely got to go and check this out. So this is RPS Effects Arcade Machine. This is fantastic. It looks so, oh, and it looks amazing. Like there's so many colors on there, it's so gaudy. I think this looks amazing. I'm so excited about this pedal. I really want to give one a go. Just get a random tone generator, plug that in. You don't even need a guitar anymore. Bloody lovely. Like just the other thing that they made it do on the demos, whether intentional or not, was it sounded like, and actually this is probably the best descriptor I can think of the sound of this pedal, is it sounds like a fight scene from Pokemon, from the Game Boy Pokemon games. It's wicked. It's like I could watch demos of this all day. I absolutely loved it, and I really recommend everybody checks it out.
Yeah, I can't believe it's taking us this long to talk about this pedal. This is an incredible pedal. Very cool indeed. Did you say a price, J-Cross, on this?
No,
at all?
It says $265 what they've got it up for. By the looks of things, yeah, in fact, it's not released yet. So it is released. It's coming out next month. So it's up for pre-order. $265. Some of the stuff on this website looks wicked. They do some great-looking pedals. Some of the other things they've got the warp drive analog delay, the tremulous maximus tremolo / amplitude modulator, the bit reactor, which is a downsampler / bit crusher.
I like the name downsampler as an alternative name for bit crusher.
Yeah, totally. The other thing that you need to know about this company is their website looks like the Space Jam website. So it looks like this. It looks like they made their website in 1998 and then just haven't touched it since.
I think that's a choice, though.
Of course it is, because they've got like the Facebook and the Instagram logos down at the bottom, can click through. This looks wicked. What a cool company. I don't know anything else about them other than the fact that they're from Pittsburgh. We should try and get in touch with them and find out what the deal is.
Because
this is wicked. Really, really cool. Another thing that was good that I saw from this was on one of the demos, they utilized a Electro Harmonix 8-step, the 8-step program. And also on the website, to make it easier for you to use that, because they think it will be so so useful for the pedal, is you can actually download like a transfer, basically, that you can just stick over the top. If you do have one of these 8-step programmers, you can just they've got a little PDF there where you can print that off and just stick it over the top, and it will show you basically how to use it with the arcade machine.
That's so cool.
It's a really cool looking product, and it sounds fantastic. So yeah, I'm very excited about this. I think it'd be great to give one a go.
Yeah, sounds absolutely wicked. Now, we are drawing to the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find that in the description of this podcast. This week is the final episode in Mark Packham's solo series, Gear, There and Everywhere, where he has been discussing a new piece of Beatles memorabilia equipment each week, which has been great. So what's your final episode on this week?
It's actually not a single piece this time around. As to be honest, none of them have been about single things, because the first one was about two Strats. Actually, that's a lie. The second one was about Paul McCartney's Rickenbacker bass. Third one was about all of the Beatles owning casinos. And this one is about just Vox amps in general. The Beatles' relationship to Vox, the amps that they use, where they appeared. A bit of the kind of lore around that.
Very cool indeed. So join us on Patreon to hear all about that. You can join Patreon at the dollar tier, which will get you this episode ad free and early. At the $5 tier, you'll get access to all our bonus series, including Mark's series Gear There and Everywhere, and of course our entire back catalogue of other mini series. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all those benefits, plus the prestigious honour of having your name featured in our podcast outro song, sung by me. That's it. You can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds. Oh, there's one other thing I've been adding to the Patreon recently, actually. It's the spoken scripts from all our YouTube videos. So if you're not in a position, this was requested by one of our listeners, if you're not in a position necessarily to watch any of our top 5 or top 10 countdown videos on YouTube, but you want to hear my dulcet tones, then I am uploading the audio of all of our videos, so you can hear me counting down the various pieces of equipment, and I will be uploading extended versions of those in the future. So whilst, you know, the top 5 most iconic Stratocasters of all time might be a 5-minute video, there's of course much more to them and much more of an interesting story that I really have to cut around to make a kind of short, you know, YouTube video. So I will be uploading the full unedited versions of all the bits and bobs I discuss about those onto the Patreon in the future. Ooh, you can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where there's much fun to be had. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye bye.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Hey, Drew Scott here,
and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.